This is Jeff Young, the Catholic Foodie at CatholicFoodie.com, and you're listening to episode 80 of the Catholic Foodie, a feast worthy of Babette. Well, sort of. That's right, folks. We are talking about Babette's Feast. At least I was referring to Babette's Feast. But we're not talking about that today. We're actually talking about a feast here in the Young House just last week. I'm late getting this episode out. I apologize for that. But we had a wonderful time with some friends of ours a week ago. The Burnses, I guess you would say the Burnses. It's Danny and Christy Burns. They came over, and, you know, they're foodies. So, of course, we had to do the foodie kind of thing, and we had a huge feast. Wonderful wine. We did Lebanese. Love to tell you all about it, so stick around. Here at the Catholic Foodie, where food meets faith. We do have lots of good things today to talk about. I'm going to pull my list up here. I've got a few things. The special feast, first of all. We have Mary in the Kitchen with Sarah Reinhardt. She's going to join us again today. Oh, and there's a new beer from Abita. You know, Abita Brewery, one of my favorite breweries in the world, right here in my own backyard, Abita Springs, Louisiana. Abita has a new beer out, and it's a beer that is kind of a charitable endeavor. You know, they have the Abbey Ale. You may have heard me talk about the Abbey Ale, which benefits the St. Joseph Abbey, which is my alma mater, actually. It's St. Joseph Seminary College, which is attached to the Abbey. So I like that beer for many reasons. I like it because it's good. First of all, it's a great beer. It's a big bottle beer. You can't get it in six packs. Very good beer, and just because of what it stands for, what it's all about, it's really an amazing story. You know, the Abbey gets a portion of the sale price of every bottle, and I can't remember right now how much that is, if it's 25 cents or 75 cents or something like that. But anyway, Abita came out with another charitable endeavor. This is called SOS, Save Our Shore, and unless you have been living under a rock, you'll know that there is an oil spill out in the Gulf of Mexico and down here in Louisiana, you know, South Louisiana. That's impacting us pretty big time. And, you know, Abita, being a local company, they decided they were going to go ahead and do this new brew, the Save Our Shore brew, SOS. And I think 75 cents of every bottle goes toward the restoration effort in the Gulf with the oil spill. Pretty awesome. I love that company. I love that brewery. I love their beers. Great stuff. So we're going to talk about that. Char and I got a bottle of that beer the first day it was released. The first day it came out, it was in the stores. We went and picked one up, and we give it a little taste for you, and can't wait to share that with you. We're also going to talk about, I got a little cooking tip or two. One is cooking with beer, and another one is basically, do you wash your raw chicken before you cook it? That's a good question. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But first, we have a special message here.
This is David.
And this is Austin.
From the Verbum Domini podcast. Did you know that Verbum Domini has over 25,000 downloads a month?
Verbum Domini is currently seeking applications for lectors.
To be selected as a lector, you should have a good speaking voice, experience with digital recording on your computer, a good quality microphone, internet access, and experience with using file transfer protocol.
Please send your applications to verbum@sqpn.com. That's verbum@sqpn.com.
Well, the first thing I'd like to talk to you about is this wonderful feast we had. You know, the Burnses are foodies, as I mentioned, and we have talked for years about getting together and cooking, doing something together, you know, in the kitchen. And we, you know, from time to time, we've been at a place, a party, a get-together, something where we have been able to enjoy food together, but we've never actually cooked together. And that was what we really wanted to do. So we've been talking about this for a while, and I don't know if you, I may have mentioned this last episode. I went and I picked all these grape leaves from my mother-in-law's grapevine a couple of weeks back, and I had them all ready. I was going to do grape leaves. I was excited about that, you know, because I love doing that First of all, it's a work of love. It takes a lot of effort, but they're so good. It's definitely worth it. So I picked about 215 leaves, and I washed them all, which you got to do by hand. You don't just wash them. You actually take a damp paper towel, and you do go through several paper towels, but you take a damp paper towel and you have to wipe each side of each leaf to kind of clean it off. And then you roll them in Saran in groups of or stacks of 20. Take those and you put them into a Ziploc or something along those lines, and you put them in the fridge, in the freezer, and you freeze them. And what you're doing basically, besides preserving them, you are blanching. Basically, you're blanching them by freezing them. That way, when you actually take them out to use them, when they thaw, they're soft, they're pliable. You can actually use them to roll. You couldn't do that if they were like fresh. Now, another option is to blanch them the way you would normally blanch anything in hot water, but you don't want to do that. Those leaves are so tender, you don't want to risk tearing them. So, matter of fact, I think between my two daughters helped me to clean the leaves, and between the three of us, I think we only had three leaves that were sacrificed in that process. Annabelle did great. She didn't have any that she ripped. I ripped, I think, two, and Grace ripped one. So anyway, but when you're talking about 215 leaves, who cares, right? So I had those set aside. They were all ready, and I'm thinking, this is awesome. This is great. I can't wait. And the Burns just came like a couple of days later, and man, did we have a feast. It was so good. It was so awesome. It was just, we were dying to do this, first of all, and to do it with the Burns's. So we did Lebanese. We rolled grape leaves, and Danny and Christy got to help us do that. They wanted to see what it was like, so they got to help us. Also, we had hummus, and we had tabbouleh that we made. Good stuff. And what else? I know I'm forgetting something, but I can't. Oh, Mujadra, which you're going to hear about. You will hear about that shortly. What I did is I had my trusty video camera and also my digital recorder, and I took that with me in the kitchen. And so while we were doing the preparation of the food, I brought that stuff out. I had to wash my hands first. You know, you don't want to get your electronics all messed up. I got to wash my hands and brought that stuff out just to kind of capture the moment and to share it with you. You know, we wanted to really just share that with you. So I'm very happy to be able to present this to you. It's kind of funny. It's kind of fun. Also, we got kids in the background. We got video games going on in the background. We've got Lebanese music in the background. We got all kind of crazy stuff going on. Lots of conversation. But I wanted to take a few of these sound clips. That's all they are, sound clips, and share them with you. I think one is like 4 minutes long and one is 7 minutes, whatever it may be. But anyway, it'll give you a picture as to how awesome this meal really was. So let's get started.
Ready to go on table 7. Come here.
I need more soup balls, please.
I need 2 salmon, 3 salad composé, and a 3 filet.
Fire 2 orders. Sear salmon.
3 filet, working. I need plates.
3 salad composé.
Are the leaves cured in any way, or does it straight off? Oh, you're gonna do it.
I'm doing it esplanade.
Okay.
I mean, according to graphic design.
I'll use pink.
How pretty. Okay. These actually are from my mama's grapevine, and all we did was Jeff cleaned each one.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He took a paper towel and, you know, wiped both sides down, and then put them in a stack and rolled them and put them in the freezer. So they've only just been frozen
to make it pliable.
Because otherwise it'd be really hard to do this. So that's it. Okay, so
and these were fresh, I have to say.
Yes, yeah, so these are a little different than like what you would get from
jar. Yeah. That these, it's pretty cool when you can video yourself.
Look at that.
I picked these, last weekend, didn't I?
Yeah.
I think I ended up with 215 of them because I went crazy. Thinking, you know. And we did them yesterday. And you put them in these rolls, which I wish I had gotten one to show, but wrap it in Saran, stick it in the freezer. These were just overnight in the freezer, huh? Yeah, and that's it. So pretty cool. And here's our stack. Stack of grape leaves. We got 60 right there. We got another, I don't know, 80 that I took out the freezer, I believe.
Okay, so what we're going to, you're going to, you know, put the stem side up.
Okay. Stem side?
Oh. Yeah, so it'll be on the inside.
Oh.
And again, like Jeff and I, you know, we, how often do we do this? Not.
So like the very.
Yeah, the vein part on the inside. The coarser part. So you have the smoother side on the outside.
Like this.
Yeah,
side.
Turn it.
Oh, right.
Like the rough.
I understand now.
The Canadian flag.
Yeah, you want to have it, yeah. And you want
like
the you want the veins to be on the up on poking.
Yeah,
gotcha.
So it's on the inside of the roll.
I see.
Anyway, you can have a little bit on the... Now, this is the part where we, all the time, we're going, how are you doing
here? Well, wait a minute. Why don't you say what this is? Right
okay,
here.
This is the... Okay, the meshy.
What is it called?
This is meshy.
Meshy.
Which is stuffing.
Which is messy, but it's still meshy.
It's meshy.
Is that a general stuffing?
And that is a...
Anything that's a stuffing
yes,
is meshy?
Yes.
Meshy is a stuffing.
So this is... Even, you know, Alton Brown calls what you put in sushi, he's called that meshy. And I went,
in
the
show,
he's calling
yeah,
that meshy? But it's an Arabic word, you know?
Okay.
So anyway, you know, the meshy is lamb, brown lamb, rice, diced tomato, lemon juice...
Melted butter.
Oh. Salt, cayenne, some fresh garlic.
Fresh garlic,
and
we put granulated too,
okay,
yeah.
And that's it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, you want it to be, you know, tight enough in the.
To
survive the cooking,
right?
Right,
yes.
Okay, so we're going to make a small little.
Roughly a tablespoon.
Yeah. Finger, I don't know.
However much that
yeah,
is.
It depends on the size of your leaf, too.
Right.
Okay, but my mom, you know, she does not, this is not like a, I guess other cultures tend for larger.
Okay.
Like even Greek grape leaves, they don't, you know, the raw
Dalmat,
kind, they
Dalmat,
don't,
cook,
the don't yeah, yeah, the Dalmatas or whatever,
Dalmatas,
they tend to serve them cold.
Larger.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not raw, but cold, and mm-hmm, not meat, and they typically do meatless.
Yeah.
And they tend, every time I've had them anywhere, they've always been large. So these
yeah,
are much smaller leaves, and, you know, so we're going to go for a smaller
okay,
roll. So you just have to look, I guess.
By feel.
Yeah,
look.
So we, what do we do, baby? We do like this.
Do
we kind of turn,
roll,
we kind of just
tuck
push
in,
and tuck
okay,
them,
gotcha,
and then you're going to tuck in. All right. Like this. All right. And, of course, I have a Bobo finger today, which... It's terrible. And then you're going to roll like this.
Pretty
I'm
tight,
doing
tight,
it a little.
They're little.
Okay, so you're
yeah,
pretty,
so this is very
tight,
small. And then we're just going to put them on the tray.
Look,
yeah,
how cute.
How cute are those?
When we line
that's
the pot,
pretty tight,
we'll do
right,
the larger ones at the bottom. Although these are, Jeff, these are so tender, and Jeff got them.
Yeah.
They're really going to be pretty awesome.
Okay.
So that's it.
So just put a pile
so
of
show
stuff.
Me one more time.
Okay, I'll just do it one more time.
Okay,
yeah, just put a little bit on it. So, you know, you don't want it, we kind of feel
like
our
so
way
tight,
as well. I mean,
tight,
we're like looking at each other going, okay. But you do want it to be somewhat rounded, not like flat, and don't feel like the need to go to the edge.
Because
okay,
you're tucking in. Now, did we
so I just
say
like
that
this,
we have raw rice in there too?
Yes, it is.
It's raw
yeah,
rice.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You,
raw
didn't,
rice,
you didn't say that. I just realized.
You just
raw,
said rice.
Yeah, raw yeah, rice. It's white rice, long grain rice. Now, that's one of the reasons why you don't want to, you want to roll them sort of tightly, but
not so
too tight because
yeah, you don't want
the rice
expand,
is going to expand. Yeah, okay, and I guess I mean really the meat would expand a little bit too when it cooks, huh?
Right.
Yeah. So.
And you want the rice? You don't want raw rice, so you do need to leave some.
That's the meshy.
Okay.
And when I told my mom, I said, "Yeah, we're about to roll grape leaves," and right, I said, "Jeff picked two."
And then yours pretty yours.
Okay, and that, yeah, that's fine. They look and just put it.
I'll put it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
You told her I picked 200.
I told him, and she said, "Oh yeah, about 2 pounds of meat for." I can't remember what number she said.
90.
For yeah, 80 or 90, and I said, "Oh well, we only pulled out 1 pound, so we need to do another pound of meat." And, anyway, she goes, oh yeah, take advantage. If you're rolling, roll. You know?
Right. Do it. Like, doing the,
yeah.
Little
If you were to make a whole bunch of these, obviously way more than you want to eat right now, do you freeze them before or after you cook them? Or can you freeze
them? We've never done that.
You've never frozen them? Okay.
Well, we keep them out for days, and
okay,
so
look,
what we end up
doing...
Okay,
to be a little more, like, cigar-like. Like,
okay, gotcha.
A little longer and fatter.
Gotcha.
There you go. Because, yeah, that's probably why you're getting it. If y'all want to just keep them on your
okay.
mat, and then we'll transfer them, you know.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
like
we'll keep them for you know, a couple of days in the fridge and
okay.
pull them out and eat
okay.
on
yeah,
them.
Especially this is a larger leaf.
So it's pretty nice.
You know what I mean? So you can go... Yeah, you want to make them a little, I think, a little longer. Let's
a little longer, yeah. This is not...
Okay.
This is not one that's longer. I'll get there.
But you know
you
what?
It
it's edible, so, hey, you know?
I'll get there.
How long do you cook them?
About
45
minutes. And you do put a plate on top.
Uh-huh. That's a nice baby. Hey, Sophia. Grape leaves were fantastic. Everybody enjoyed it. It was a really fun time, and it was a great night. And it reminded us of Babette's Feast. I really do wish that Char was here to share her thoughts with you about this. You know, Babette's Feast. We've talked about this video before, but this movie, this film before. But I mean, if you've watched it, you see how it's all about joy, folks. It's all about joy. The Catholic foodie is all about joy. And it's the joy of God's creation. It's the joy of a good meal. It's the joy of a good glass of wine. It's the joy of conversation. It's just joy. That's what it's all about. And unfortunately, that's what today a lot of people are missing when it comes to food and meals and family life. They miss the joy of family life. They miss the joy of eating a good meal, of cooking. Why? Because, you know, we're into the fast food nation and all that kind of stuff. But this is what the Catholic food is all about. And that meal with the Burnses was sort of like the, oh, I don't know what the word is. It embodied what this was all, what this is all about. It's about joy. And I wish you would have been there. I wish you could have been there. It would have been awesome to have you there to experience what we experienced that night. It was like it was almost like a spiritual experience because you have the conversation, you got the families, you got the kids running around. You have this, the good food and not just food that someone brought to your table and you're going to pay them and leave a tip, but this is food that your hands played a part in. You made this food together, everybody at that table. We fed the kids first, and then the adults sat down and ate. The four of us, we put our effort into this meal, and here we are sharing it. And not only that, but it was also a continuation, a carrying on of the tradition of Char's family. It was a Lebanese meal. So all these recipes, everything that we're doing, it was handed down from generation to generation. And here Char is. She's continuing to carry on the traditions. And it was just so, just incredible. I really do wish that you could have been there to share that with us. And hey, who's to say that that won't happen someday, right? So anyway, I can't say enough about this meal, but I think I'm going to have to cut it short here. I can't talk all night about this. But it was just so, so incredible. We haven't had a meal like that, and I don't know how long. And that's as far as eating with family and friends, as far as going out to dinner at restaurants, whatever it may be, we have not had a meal like that in a long, long time. It's hard to think. It's really hard to think when the last time was. And we talked about that. We talked about that the other night, Char and I, and just how we would love to share that fact and that experience with you. All right, so what's on the agenda next? Well, we are working our way toward our Mary in the Kitchen with Sarah Reinhardt, which I'm very excited about this week, by the way. Actually, You know, I'm excited every week about Mary in the Kitchen. I love Mary in the Kitchen. But before we do that, I want to share with you some voice feedback that we got that I'm also excited about.
Hi, Jeff. This is Lisa from Of Sound Mind and Spirit. Earlier this month in your podcast, you mentioned a Bon Appetit article titled The Top 10 Best New Burger Spots. And yesterday, while out with my kids at Herman Park in Houston, I noticed one of the restaurants mentioned in the article called Little Bigs. So I stopped in and I ordered a spicy black bean slider with harissa cream sauce was served on a soft, fresh baked yeast roll. The burger had great texture. It was cooked really well. It was spicy without good flavor without being too spicy. And the cream sauce was just right. I always could use a little more cream sauce. Who couldn't, right? Mine was a slider and I ordered just one. And it was $2 for just that one, but I think it was about $5 for three. So not the place you want to go for your everyday hamburger, but the quality of burger was better than your everyday fast food burger also. It was a thrill to see a restaurant that you had just talked about and to go and order something and taste something that was mentioned on your podcast. I hope to see you in Boston at the CMNC. But until then, Bon Appetit.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa. I loved getting that voicemail. That was just so incredible. You know, to say something on the show, to say something here, to talk about those different restaurants like we did, and then, you know, someone goes and goes to one of these restaurants, and then they call in and talk about it. That's great. Lisa, thank you so much for calling in. I mean, first of all, we get like a up close and personal view of this particular restaurant that we talked about. And anybody in that area, I mean, of course, you know, you can go and visit and let us know what you think too. But that is just so cool. I'm so excited about this. And you know, if you have been to one of these restaurants that we talked about, I think it was in episode 78. I believe it was 78. I'll put a note in our show notes for this show, episode 80. I'll put that in the show notes, give you a link to that. But I think it was 78. If you have been to any of those top 10 hamburger restaurants, right, let me know. I'd love to know. And thank you again so much, Lisa. That was cool. And one day, who knows, I will be at the CNMC, first of all. So that's awesome. And we get to see each other again. I was so glad to meet you last year. Can't wait to see you again this year. But who knows? Maybe one day I'll be in your neck of the woods, and we can go check this place out together. And by the way, Lisa, I love how you put the Bon Appetit at the end there. That's great.
Hi, I'm Junie.
And I'm Ree.
And this is Mary in the Kitchen with Sarah Reinhardt.
One of the benefits of being so public about my devotion to Mary is that other people who love Mary get in touch with me. I get to hear lovely stories about other people's devotions and about their love of Mary. Each week here on The Catholic Foodie, I try to share some aspect of how I find Mary in my kitchen. And really, that's just one aspect of a long work in progress known as my love letter to Mary. A friend of mine is working on a similar project, and she needs your help. You've probably heard of Pat Gone, hostess of the wonderful Among Women podcast. Her podcast patron is Mary. Hey, what's not to love? On August 15th, in honor of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin, Pat's putting together a show that will feature call-in and written feedback from her listeners. The subject is Why I Love Mary. Now, Pat doesn't know that I'm going out of my way to encourage all of my listeners to call her voice feedback line, which is 206-338-6077, or email her at amongwomenpodcast@me.com. I just feel a certain responsibility. You see, I recorded a little segment for that show. Not only do I not want to be the only one who sent something in, but it took me about 49 takes, because it's a very personal sort of thing that involves tears and gulps and moments of silence, at least for me. Sharing what I love about Mary in a condensed way like that forces me to come face to face with the tears I can usually swallow when I'm working on my Mary in the Kitchen segments. It makes me look at a gift so big, God's love, and see how very much I both don't deserve it and very much need it. Can you, will you please join me? Call the Among Women feedback line at 206-338-6077 by August 2nd and share why you love Mary. Maybe it's a favorite devotion or a special story about the Blessed Mother. Do you love a certain title or apparition? Whatever it is, please share it. Consider it a little bouquet for Mary. You know, for her kitchen table. Until next week, my friends, don't look further than your sink or deeper than your stove to find Mary standing beside you and leading you always back to her son.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much once again for Mary in the Kitchen. Always inspiring. Thank you very much. And you know, I'm so excited about this. She talked about Pat Gone. You know, Pat Gone, Among Women podcast. She is going to be at the CNMC. And so is Sarah Reinhardt. And so am I. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, by the way. If you have given a donation, if you made a donation to my fund here to go to the CNMC. If you remember, I guess it was back in episode 77. I'm having a hard time remembering my episodes tonight. But if you remember, I had a long time listener who offered to match any funds that were donated in order to get me to the CNMC. And of course, all of this stems from the fact that I'm making a huge career move and have been doing so since the end of May. And, you know, we're just in a big transition here. And this particular longtime listener said, you know, it's important for the Catholic Foodie to be at the CNMC this year. So I want to do my part, and I will match any donations that are given to this particular fund. So if you have donated already, thank you so much. I very much appreciate it. I'm humbled, and I'm very thankful for this particular listener for urging me to send out this call for donations. I don't think I would have done it on my own, but you know, he it was a good thing. I think it was a good thing, definitely. And if you have not yet donated, you still can. We're, I think, about $225 shy of me making my budget. I do have a plane ticket already. I stepped out in faith and bought the plane ticket based on the donations that came in already. I did take that step in faith. And if you have not yet donated, please do. You can find a button to press on CatholicFoodie.com, CatholicFoodie.com. Right-hand side of the page, you will find a PayPal donation button. You do not have to have a PayPal account. You can use any credit card. And make whatever size donation you'd like to make, $5, $10, $25, $2 million, whatever it may be. But it does help me out, and I thank you so much for doing that. You know, in this transition, that's just a little added boost for me as my budget makes a transition too. So thank you again for making a donation. Thank you for considering making a donation. Okay, now I have a question for you, and this question is a kitchen question, and I'm going to ask that question in just a minute.
Wow, something smells good. Those goodies in there. Granny Puckett, the goodie lady? My goodness, she makes some good goodies. She's got a thing. It's like a cookies, shortbread, chocolate, icing between. Very. It's good. It's very good.
And here's the question. Do you wash your raw chicken before you cook it? That is a fair question, I think. You know, I do. I do wash raw chicken before I cook it. You know, you take it out of the package. Matter of fact, any meat that I take out, I buy from the store, I take it out of the package, I rinse it before I cook it, before I prepare it, before I season it, prep it, whatever I'm going to do with it. I always rinse it off first. Why? I've actually asked myself that question. Why do I do this? Because the heat from, you know, whether it's the grill, the stove, whatever it may be, the heat's going to kill anything that's not good on this, you know. And I've asked myself that question, but I still do it. Maybe out of habit, maybe because I saw my mom do it as I grew up. I don't know. But I do. Do you? That's the question. Do you? I saw an article just the other day that kind of freaked me out a bit. And the article was on Slash Food, slashfood.com, which is a, well, it's a kind of a foodie news type website. And this is the title of the article here. It says, "Washing raw chicken increases food poisoning risk." I've never heard that before, right? Washing raw chicken increases food poisoning risk. And this is what they say and why they say this. It says, "You might want to think twice before rinsing off raw chicken in your kitchen sink. Recent studies by the British Food Standards Agency shows that rinsing chicken can potentially spread bacteria on work surfaces in a 3-foot radius." The Daily Telegraph reported this. The report says that up to 75% of consumers wash poultry before consuming. I'm one of those. The FSA says 65% of raw chicken is contaminated with, oh, here's the big word. Oh, goodness. Campylobacter. I think that's it. Campylobacter. The most common cause of food poisoning. The paper reported that. And while cooking will kill the bug, Campylobacter, I think is what it says. Campylobacter causes more than 300,000 cases of food poisoning and 15,000 hospitalizations a year in England and Wales. That doesn't include the U.S. That means washing your food or washing your bird can spread harmful bacteria around your kitchen, potentially contaminating other foods in your kitchen that may not be cooked before eating. Like salad, for instance, you know, we like to eat salad, and we may wash our lettuce. This scares me. What if we do the chicken, we rinse the chicken first and splatter the water all over the place, and then we go back behind the chicken and wash, you know, rinse the lettuce? Now, of course, we do clean, and Char is a germaphobe to some extent. Don't tell her I said that, okay? I'll get in trouble. But she loves to, to worry about germs like this. And so she wants me to, which is good. This is smart now. It's very smart to make sure I clean very well with bleach or, what's other stuff I spray? I can't think of it right now. Vinegar maybe? Something like that to kill the bacteria after fooling with poultry in our sink. So we do that. We absolutely do that. And thank you, honey, for reminding me all the time. But what if you come back behind the chicken without cleaning and you're rinsing lettuce? I mean, that you could get sick. I guess that's the point here. It says the FSA is looking into ways to reduce contamination across the chicken production line, including disinfecting chickens with an antimicrobial. That's a big word. Antimicrobial wash, a method not yet approved in the EU. Washing raw poultry is a common kitchen mistake, and it simply isn't necessary. An FSA spokeswoman, told The Telegraph, "Tap water won't get rid of the germs that cause food poisoning, but they will be killed by thorough cooking. By washing your raw bird, you're you are actually more likely to spread the germs around the kitchen than get rid of them. Whew, does that make you nervous? It makes me nervous. Is that going to change the way you prepare your bird? I think it will change mine. And I have not shared this with my lovely wife yet. But when she sees it, I think we will be changing our kitchen practices when it comes to cooking poultry. By the way, I would love to hear what you do in your kitchen. Do you do this? Do you rinse your poultry or not? Please do. Give us a call at 985-635-4974. 985-635-4974. I would love to hear from you. Well, I talked earlier in the show about this new Abita beer, the SOS, Save Our Shore beer. And the other night, Char and I, as I mentioned, it was the very first day that the beer was out on the shelves. We went out, made a special trip just to get a bottle. And it's a big bottle, 24-ounce, I believe, 22-ounce, 22-ounce bottle. And we brought the microphone with us. We wanted to share the experience with you. And here it is.
Well, we're back in the kitchen. It's going to be interesting here. We got lots of sounds. The kids are playing Wii in the background. I don't know what game they're playing, but
we play.
We play, they say. And Char's about to fire up the Cuisinart. We're making tacos, by the way. Salsa, tacos. The salsa has a lot to be desired, right?
It's awful.
Awful. All right, but we're not going to talk about that. I thought we said we weren't going to talk about that. But anyway, that's right, we're honest.
Terrible.
The reason that you are invited into our kitchen now is because we have something to share with you that has nothing to do with tacos and nothing to do with salsa, bad salsa. This is the new Abita brew. Just came out. It's called the SOS. It's Save Our Shore. And of course, you think about the shore, you think about saving something like that. What are we saving it from? We're saving it from an oil spill.
Why don't you read the bag?
BP, I'm sure, figures into that somewhere. This is a charitable pilsner, it says. Now, you know already that I love Abita beer, right? We've talked about that several times. I had Mr. David Blossman, who's the president of Abita Beer, on the show. I think it was episode 17. That was a long time ago. I talked to him the other day, and he said he'd be happy to come back on and talk about this new beer. So hopefully, in the next episode or two, we can have that happen. Anyway, the back of the bottle, beautiful bottle, by the way. And this is not available in six packs. This is what they call a big bottle. It is one pint plus six fluid ounces. It's 7% alcohol by volume. It says this unfiltered Weissen pills is made with Pilsner and wheat malts. It is hopped and dry hopped with Sterling and German Pearl hops. It has a brilliant gold color, a sweet malt flavor, and a pleasant bitterness and aroma.
Ooh.
How's that sound?
Sounds good.
And it's cool because the bottle, it's got like, you know, water, lines like for water, and then SOS is made up of, animals and other objects that are particular to South Louisiana. You know, you got fish and pelican and a duck and a shrimper's boot, fish, crabs, turtles, fish and anchor, crawfish. Woo, crawfish. Mm-mm. A fishing line, a fishing net, a boat. You got all kind of stuff that comes together. A gator. There's a gator. Yep. All kind of stuff comes together here to make up the letters SOS. On the other side of the bottle, it says, Save Our Shore. This Abita brew is a message in a bottle, a distress signal for the troubled waters of our Gulf Coast. For every bottle sold, Abita will donate 75 cents to the rescue and restoration of the environment, industry, and individuals fighting to survive this disastrous oil spill. Want to do more? Visit Abita.com. Matter of fact, you can go to sos.abita.com, and they have a bunch of information there that you can learn about the beer. It's lots of good stuff. And you want to taste it?
Yes.
All right.
I didn't read up on it, but saw a little quick blurb. I think that this has the artistry on it was, there's a story behind it. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know that story, but...
Well, maybe we can look it up.
Yeah.
Save our show.
Okay, turn, open up. Right.
Let's try to get a good sound here, you know. Hey, that's good. Not bad. All right.
It is very yellow.
Mm-hmm. We're pouring it into wine, red wine glasses, kind of goblets there, you know. Finish off the bottle here, pour all of it in.
Trying to be very fair.
Trying to be fair, but I don't know why, because Charles will probably want me to finish off hers. Being as tired as she is, you know. All right, let's give it a whirl. To our shore.
To our shore.
Hmm. Wow.
I like it.
I like it.
It's
very light.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost kind of sweet, huh?
Mm-hmm. Extremely easy for me to drink.
Wow.
Very, very, I think it's a good summer.
Yeah, summery. It's great.
Mm.
I like it. It's light, and that's the first thing that hit me. It's light, A and B. It's kind of...
You can't say light.
It's not hoppy. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. It's not hoppy at all.
But like you can't a, like call it light beers. Like a...
Well, no, it's not like a light beer at all, okay? Uh-uh. Not at all. Please don't get me wrong there.
There's a richness to it.
But you do have the malts. You can kind of... You could taste that, the wheat malts. But it's... I love... India Pale Ale, because it's really hoppy. I love hops. This beer does not have that hop. It isn't grabby like these other beers do. Not that that's a bad thing at all. I like it. It's very nice. And I agree with you 100%. It's kind of summery.
This is...
You know?
It's a very quality beer, and there's a richness to it, but it's very easy for me to... I say easy for me to drink because you know why I say that, huh?
Why?
Because I tend to, you know.
Leave some for me to drink at the end?
Yeah. I think a lot of females are kind of like me.
How?
You drink the beer, like, the first half of it.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens?
then it gets hot.
Mm-hmm. So
and you say, here, honey, you can have the rest.
So what you're saying is, you won't allow this one to get very hot.
Right.
So if I get you 2, 3, 4 of them, you'd be all right with that.
I really, really like it a lot.
It's nice, huh?
Now, cool. Also one of my other favorites is my favorite is the Abbey Ale.
The Abbey Ale, that's right. Another big bottle. Big
and now
bottle.
I like this a lot.
It's the, 22-ounce bottle, right? 22-ounce bottle, 1 pint, 6 ounces.
You may have heard me mention before Ruby.com, R-O-U-X-B-E, Ruby.com, and that is an online cooking school, and it uses video and other, you know, new media type things like blogging, conversations, in order to teach cooking, you know, good stuff. Matter of fact, there are a number of physical cooking schools that use the Ruby curriculum. Really amazing when you think about that. But anyway, you know, Ruby, I interviewed the co-founder of Ruby a few months back. I can't remember this is an episode, by the way. This one you're listening to right now, episode 80, is an episode in which I can't remember previous episodes because I can't tell you which episode I interviewed the co-founder in. I don't remember. But I can put it in the show notes for you. I will do that over at CatholicFoodie.com. ruby.com. Now, Ruby, though, we have a good deal for you. We have an excellent deal for you. I worked this out with Ruby. As a listener of the Catholic Foodie, you can get a full 14-day, full-access trial of the premium membership. You don't have to be a premium member to go to ruby.com. There are there's material, there's content there that is for free and will always be for free. But they also have this premium content that you subscribe to. But with the Catholic Foodie, you can go there and sign up for this. Not for the, you know, you don't have to buy anything, but you can sign up for a free 14-day trial. It gives you full access to everything that Ruby has to offer. This is an awesome deal. Just to do the 14-day trial is an awesome deal because you learn so much. I learned a ton. I learned a ton the first day, the first video I saw. I learned things that I had I'd never learned before. It was really cool. Helped me to save time, especially that first video, helped me to save time on my chopping. You know, I chop a lot of veggies, and that, you know, I learned a technique there that, I'd never learned before. So, what you need to do to get this free, full access 14-day trial is go to catholic.ruby.com. And again, Ruby is R-O-U-X-B-E. One word there, R-O-U-X-B-E. So catholic.ruby.com. And you can sign up for that 14-day free trial. Now, what's important here is that the normal trial, if you were just searching the internet, you wind up over there at ruby.com, the normal trial for them is 7 days. But Catholic Foodie, you know, we were able to work something out there. You have 14 days to try this thing out. There's so much there to see. There's so much to learn. Go try it out. And please do email me at jeff@catholicfoodie.com or call me at 985-635-4974 and let me know, how was it? What did you learn? What did you like? I want to know about that. 985-635-4974. And here's just a small introduction to Ruby if you have never been introduced to it before.
Welcome to the Ruby Cooking School. My name is Joe. I'm one of the co-founders of the company. At Ruby, what we do is we capture a professionally accredited cooking school curriculum in high-definition video, and then we deliver it over the web to anybody in the world that wants to learn how to become a better and more confident cook. I want to take you on a little tour of the site, starting with the cooking school lesson page. On this page, we showcase all of the lessons that we've developed to date. They include things like knife skills, stocks, pan sauces, pan frying, pasta, everything you can imagine that a professional cook would learn would be found on this page. You click on pasta, for example, how to make fresh pasta, and it opens up a lesson. So on this lesson page, you'll see it's organized by 5 tabs. One is goals, which just explains what you will learn in this lesson. And then you move on to the lesson videos on the next tab. And this is typically anywhere from an 8 to 15 minute video lesson, very specific to how to make fresh pasta in this case. We break each lesson video down into what we call topics. So they're like mini chapters. So you can take it a little bite at a time. After you review the lesson video, we have a practice tab. And in the practice tab, there are some practice exercises, and then there's lots of great practice recipes where you can apply those skill and techniques that you learn in the video lesson. So after the practice, we have a quiz. So you can use this to assess whether you remember the new knowledge that you acquired in the cooking school lesson. So the last section in every lesson is the discussion tab, and here is where you can ask a question if you're having any troubles with the lesson, and a Ruby chef will get back to you typically within 24 hours, sometimes sooner, sometimes a bit longer, but we will get back to you. The great thing about Ruby and something that I find very interesting is that it's something that's being used in professional cooking schools to actually teach, to replace, in some cases, the demos that they would have in the morning at a professional cooking school. It's also being used in high schools all over the world.
Ruby compares very well. It's
almost the same as being in class, but you get a better view, and it's a lot closer than the mirrors and sitting in a desk.
Well, Ruby gives a pretty accurate representation of all the things that we learn in class. So for us, it's a really good thing for us to go back to. If we want to remember how to make a sauce or how to braise something, we can go back after class and go and check out what's going on.
I definitely think that Ruby could help the home cook in lots of ways. It gives you visual cues, it gives you sound cues. I think it's very beneficial and easy to follow.
You can do it on your own time, at your own pace. You can watch lessons again that you need refreshers on, so it's very flexible.
Home cooks learn through recipes because that's what they think they need to rely on. That's what's out there. That's what's thrown at you. And there's nothing wrong with that, because sometimes you come across a recipe that's a gem. But for every recipe that's a gem, that if you follow it, it's always going to turn out, there's about 1,000 that can take you anywhere.
What sets Ruby apart is its quality. If somebody is really serious about cooking, they can really get the details that they need to move their cooking to much higher levels. So it doesn't just get you to cook better, but it can get you to cook great once you really end up practicing the details that are in Ruby and honing them.
Catholic.ruby.com, R-O-U-X-B-E. Catholic.ruby.com. Let me know what you think. I think it's awesome myself, but I want to know what you think. Well, we have reached the end of the show, episode 80 of the Catholic Foodie. Certainly hope you enjoyed your time here. I'm very happy that you were, that you joined us. Very happy indeed. And I'm very excited too, because in just a week, a little over a week now, I will be flying to Boston. For the CNMC, the Catholic New Media Celebration. Very excited about that. I went last year, and I'm very happy at the thought of being able to see all the great people I saw last year. I just can't wait. I can't wait. It's going to be so good to see everybody. And, you know, I'm going to bring you there. You're going to be, if you can't go, first of all, you will be able to go online. You can go, if you're not actually going to physically be in Boston, you can go to live.sqpn.com, and the entire thing will be Ustreamed. You can see it on video live as it's happening at live.sqpn.com. Awesome stuff. Isn't it great, this whole, you know, Catholic new media stuff? Awesome. Anyway, if you can't join us live in Boston, you can join us there online. And once again, just a little gentle reminder that if you have not yet donated to my special fund here, the Catholic Foodie, getting up to Boston, we got about $225 left to cover for the hotel. Got the plane ticket already, and I am stepping out in faith here. And please do ask that, you know, $5, $10, whatever it may be, go to CatholicFoodie.com, right-hand corner of the screen. You're going to see a donate button. Just click on that, follow the directions, and you're good to go. So very happy that you're here today, and you know what? Until next time, bon appétit.
I'm Julia Child. Bon appétit.
Bon appétit.
Bon appétit.
Bon appétit.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.